and something to write with, a pencil, a pen. Maybe some of you, it's a crayon, you know, but I'm going to encourage you all, go get something to write on. I'm going to ask you to help with our study today. Write some things down, and then we'll look at them as we go through the message. So I'm going to give you a minute or two here just to, I talk along here, just to give you time to find a pen, find a piece of paper, find a pencil, that kind of thing, because I'm going to ask each and every one of you to write something down as we go through our message this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Carl Hardgrove, a professor at the Master Seminary, he's a neat guy. I've talked to him a few times just about when we put the job application on the website there. He's in charge of placement of the graduates. He's the dean of students. He teaches pastoral ministries, and he actually was there finishing up his doctorate when I was back in seminary. Pastor Hardgrove, he gave a 10-11 minute video on Psalm 27, and he did encouragement that it was on his heart to do. And so when he did that, I was looking at it and I said, you know, I'm going to go study the Psalm. I really liked what he had to say, and some of the things were in there. So I spent a lot of time, spurred me on to get into the study. And what I want to bring to our message today is my study of Psalm 27. This psalm was written by King David. David faced many, many challenges, many difficulties, many adversaries through his life. We all know that. Many or most of his psalms reflect vividly his relationship with the Lord during those times of difficulty or those times of trials. When David was tempted to become fearful. And if you read all of David's psalms, there's 73 or so in there, and in most of them, you look at that, and it was when David was unsure, or he was tempted to be fearful, or when he had something on his heart that he'd write a psalm about his relationship with God, about who God is and who God is to him, and the truth of God, and then his cry out to him, and those kind of things. But David's words shows his faith, it shows his trust, it shows his confidence, his assurance in the Lord. If you read them, they do. Psalm 27 does, surely. And it also shows his dependence upon God. He always was relying what he depended upon the Lord for, and it also showed his prayers for strength, security, and guidance. Those are David's Psalms. We're going to look at one of them today, Psalm 27. You know, so many times in our lives, that's our journey. Isn't that our journey in our life? I want you to think about it at home. That's our journey in life, right? Some difficulties, some trials, some things. Even what Pastor Craig was encouraging us in, you know, and then we're seeking God's guidance, or we're turning to be dependent upon Him, or we're learning to trust in Him. In difficulty, that's what we do. We turn to the Lord, we grow in trust, we depend upon God in prayer, and we ask for His guidance. That's our journey. And if you have that pen or paper, I'd like you to write down one of them. I'd like you to write down one that you've gone through or you're going through right now. There probably is pretty a common one going right now. But write down at least one. Maybe you got two or three that come to your mind. When in my life is this journey where I've faced some challenges, some difficulties, some adversaries through this life, and in my relationship with the Lord, I'm seeking Him to be dependent upon Him or His strength or guidance or having confidence, trust in who He is. Write one down. And participate in what we're going to be learning today. Go ahead and do that. One might be the uncertainty of a husband and wife starting a family. You know, sometimes we just assume that's an easy thing, to start a family, but sometimes it's very difficult. Working to get along, and then the coming of a baby, wanting a child, and then a baby coming along, and that can bring a lot of fear. It can bring a lot of worry and those kind of things. Maybe that's one that you would write down. Maybe another would maybe be the challenges and things that come against a family and seeking to in serving God. You know, and just the dynamic of family, all the things that come against that. The family's going to serve God. There's so many things that can come against that, so many challenges in that. Maybe one you would write down if you're a little younger. You're a student in school and you're trying to be faithful to God's way. There's adversaries to that. We know that. There's peer pressure. There's a false system that's going on, a fallen system that's going on. So maybe that's what you would write down in this life that you have with the Lord and seeking to trust Him and wanting His guidance. Or maybe just the difficulty of a job environment. You know, your journey trying to trust in the Lord and praying for guidance in just this place that I work and who the people are there and what the boss is asking, or maybe one's a constant battle in this life to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We know the blood of Christ cleanses us, right? We stand pure before God positionally, but God is at work in our life for us to walk practically the way the Jesus Christ walked in that battle, just with your own flesh. And or maybe for some it's a serious health issue. And that's where you're challenged, and that's where you're seeking to trust and have confidence in the Lord. Or maybe it's just the issue of growing older. Or then we could write the one that we're all maybe thinking about, the coronavirus. You see, all these things still go on, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic and a coronavirus. All of these same challenges that I was talking about, it didn't stop any of those. It just made them different with a different dynamic. And then Pastor Craig encouraged us to embrace that time for the opportunities that God has. Wouldn't we want to do that in the midst of the ones I just read off or the ones that you wrote down? Because God is God, and He is in the midst of all of those. We're going to look at that today. These things David faced, Christians face. Not exactly, but common difficulties, common challenges, common adversities. And our relationship with the Lord, the truth of Him and His care for us and His providential purpose in and through our lives is to be an anchor to us. We're to trust in Him. We're to learn to trust. We're to learn that He is worthy of our trust. That's what's going on in the midst of all of this. Here in this psalm, David expresses his trust in the Lord, which impacted and impacts his life tremendously. That's what we're going to look at today. From Psalm 27, we make four observations. There's four things that David does here, four observations. First, he affirms his confidence, is what he calls it, his trust in the Lord. And what that confidence, that trust in the Lord does, that confidence dispels fear. And secondly, he prays for security in God. He prays that he would be secure in God, that God would hold him securely, that in his relationship with God he'd be secure. And that security comes from communion with God. That's where our security lies, in our relationship with God, in our communion with Him, in our seeking Him and asking forgiveness, seeking Him confessing sin, seeking Him repenting, seeking Him to guide and lead our life. That communion with God is where our security lies. It's a real relationship with God, God's real presence in our life. Thirdly, he prays for God's gracious guidance. He needs guiding. He needs leading. He needs God to show him his way. And that guidance comes from God's precious promises of goodness to us. And then lastly, in the last verse, David encourages us all to place our confidence in God, which we all need to. And we all need to be encouraged each and every day that we need to place our confidence in God. And you know, we can say those where you say you need to be confident in God, trust in the Lord, that kind of thing. But you know what? What's important about that is, do you know the God that who He is in character and who He is in attitude and action and all the things? Do you really know who God is? Because when you just say trust in the Lord, right, I put my trust in God, but you don't really have a strong relationship or don't know who God is, you kind of think about trusting in God. You don't know what you're trusting in. David had a deep relationship with the Lord. God wants us to have one with Him, know who He is, know His character, His truth, His beauty, His righteousness, all of those things. So when we know that that's where our trust, where our refuge, where we're to go, where our confidence is to be in, we're confident because of who He is, not of what's happening. And so we're going to look at that today. You there with me in Psalm 27? Let's dig into this psalm, beginning with the first three verses. Here's where David affirms his confidence in the Lord. Look at him with me. Listen to the word of God, verse 1 through 3. David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Now, David says here, he says, despite the challenges, despite the difficulties, despite the adversity, despite the threat of harm, I'm confident. Now, what's important is he's not confident in himself. He's confident in God, right? That's what he's saying. I trust in God. I'm confident in the Lord. The Hebrew word here, confident, means trusting by placing reliance or belief and a person or object. The object of his confidence is God. Here is confidence. Whom shall I fear? What shall I dread? My heart will not fear. I shall be confident. I shall trust in my God. That's what he's declaring. Psalm 56:4 says this, "In God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust, my confidence. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Well, you see in that verse, you got to have an understanding of who God is and what mere man is, right? Because in just the reality of life, in the realness of our life, we can be afraid of what man can do. We can be afraid of what man might bring. We can be afraid of what might happen because of this pandemic and where our government might go. But what can man really do to us? If we're held securely in the hands of Christ and the love of God, what can mere man really do to us if God is the one that's over our life? And that's what David is talking about. Even though there's a host or an army encamped against us. So David is saying, my confidence, my trust is in the Lord. And that dispels fear. He said it three times. Psalm 3:6 says, it is the Lord who sustains me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Now I want you to think about that. Could you say that? Right now, it is the Lord who sustains me. I will not be afraid. Well, you have to know the Lord to do that, right? You have to know who God is and his promises and his care and what awaits. Like Pastor Craig was praying about the eternal dwelling, that we're going to be with God with no sin, no sorrow, all of that. You have to believe and trust. See, David even sees that. Psalm 46, 1 and 2 says this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea. Well, I don't know about you, but if the mountains up here slipped into the heart of the sea, I better have a relationship with the Lord that I can, no matter what, Lord, no matter what happens in this life, what happens in this world, this is where I will not fear. Because if the mountains slip into the sea, it was God's providence and God is over it all. Whatever's going on, God is still on the throne and in charge and allowing for his glory, our good. We know that to be true. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. So David, affirming his confidence in the Lord and that trust in the Lord, that confidence dispels fear. And then so he gives us three reasons why. Why does that confidence or trust in the Lord dispel fear? What are we putting our confidence in? Who is our God to us? He gives three reasons why. They're all from verse 1. Look at it with me. Because the Lord is my light. Because the Lord is my salvation. Because the Lord is the defense of my life. That's what he said. Let me read it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Right? So he's, the Lord's my light, my salvation, and the defense of my life. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord to be that to you? Do you know the Lord in that manner, that he's your light, he's your salvation? We're going to dig into this, that he's the defense of your life. Do you know his character and his attributes and the truth of him that he is? He says, God is my light. Light is in contrast to darkness. God is his light, he says. God is what illuminates the truth. God does. Do you know the only place that the only thing that illuminates truth is God's word, God's truth, God's people proclaiming God's word, God's truth? That's the only illuminating light. There is no other true light. There's no other truth, light, about who God is, about who we are, about the reality that's going on. God is the only true light. God illuminates the path. God illuminates his life, our life, his life. It is God who David looks to see clearly, nowhere else. And that's what he's saying. God is, the Lord is my light. Psalm 28 or 18:28 says this, for you light my lamp, the Lord my God illuminates my darkness. I love that verse. That's been an important verse to me. God shows me myself. That's what David wrote. That God shows David himself clearly. He illuminates who David is. He illuminates who our weakness is. He illuminates where our struggle is. He illuminates where we're putting our wrong thoughts and gives us the word of God and illuminates this is where you're to put your thoughts. That's what he's talking about. I go to God. I go to his word. I go to him by the Spirit of God to be the light of my life, to light up and in Psalm 18:28, and he illuminates my darkness. Where I struggle, where I need to see. Job 29:3 says this, when his lamp shone over my head. I like that. By his light, I walk through darkness. Don't you love that? by the light of God right above me. Darkness, whatever that might be, I got to get my way through. Whether it be self-focus, whether it be scared, whether it be worry, whether it be, do I go this way or that way, Lord? Whether I do this or that, profession, all of that. Lord, be the lamp above my head and shine the way through the darkness. Job wrote that. See, God is and is the one showing his way, his truth. He illuminates the path. See, he's the light. John, in the beginning of his gospel, let me turn there. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. I want you to listen to what he wrote. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came to being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And he says, in him was life, and the life and the life was the light of men. In Jesus Christ, God shined the life that he has for us. In Christ, we see life. We see the life that God intended humanity to have. Reconciled to God, forgiven of sin. God illuminates life to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, God is our light. There is no other true source of true light. David's confidence in the Lord dispels fear because God is his light. He is the true light that illuminates the way, the truth, the life that we are to live. That's what David is saying. This is who he is to me. The Lord is. This is what he is. Also in verse 1, the Lord is his salvation. Hebrew word meaning rescue, deliverance, safety, salvation. In the intensity of the things that David faced, he says, the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. He is my rescue, my deliverance, my safety, my salvation. From sin, right? Isn't that what God delivered us from, saved us from, rescues us from? From sin. From sin being the master of our life, from sin dominating our life, from sin being the way of our life, from self, right? From sin and self. That's what it is. That's what God rescues and delivers us from. Think about all the things that you go through, the things that you wrote down, the things that you're challenged with, and then you view God, and God is there to help rescue us from our self-focus, help rescue us from our sin, help rescue us from a wrong understanding of God. He's there to deliver us from thinking the wrong things about things to thinking the right things about me, things. Lord, deliver, rescue me from those things in my life. Because he's your salvation. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. The God who is our salvation, God is to us a God of deliverance. You know, just think about in the things in your life, the things you might have wrote down. Most of the time, it's God delivering us from the wrong thought, the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective, to where we're putting our trust or our faith or our hope in something else. And he's trying to guide us and lead us and bring us. He wants to be our Savior, right? And bring us to the place where we're standing in his light instead of standing not in his light. The object of David's confidence is the Lord, not himself, not his job, not even being king. It's not the government nor anything else. I want you to listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 12:2. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song and he has become my salvation. Interesting thing the way Isaiah said that. He said, God is my salvation, my deliverance, and has become my salvation, my rescue. Why? Because he has grown in trusting in his God. You know, we know God is our salvation through Jesus Christ. But is he becoming your salvation? Is he becoming in your relationship with him, the one that you go to, that he shows you by the true light of him, by his word, to rescue you, to deliver you, to be your savior, to walk you out of the things of this life, sin and self, and the things is are you seeking him in that way? Is that who he is to you? Is that your relationship with God? Yes, he's my light. He's the one that illuminates the path. Yes, he's my salvation. He's the one that rescues me out of the wrong ways, out of the wrong life, out of the wrong thing. He's the one guiding and leading. Proverbs, or let me see, where am I at? So trust in the Lord dispels fear. It does to David because he is his light, he is his salvation. And thirdly, in that first verse, he says, he is the defense of my life, David says. Defense, the Hebrew word means defense, refuge, fortress, place of protection. I want you to get the idea here. What are you saying when he says, the Lord is the defense of my life? It's not like the Lord has a sword and he's beating everything off of your life. That's not what it's kind of, it's the idea here is that God is a place of refuge, that God is the place of protection. Proverbs 18:10 says it this way, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. That's the idea of what David's talking about. God is the place where I run to. God is the refuge of my life. God is the place of protection. I trust in him. Colossians 3:3 says this, in salvation, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That word hidden carries the idea in the Greek word guarded. And so really it's saying my life is guarded, all of it, all the way to the end, all the way to eternity, all the way through eternity. It's guarded with Christ in God. That's the defense of my life. Psalm 71:3 says it this way, God be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You see, those difficulties that we talked about, those challenges that you wrote down, in them, what God desires is to be your light. And God desires to be your deliverer, your savior. And God desires to be your refuge that you run to. For he alone is to be the object of your trust and confidence. And when I say run to, it's relational. It's not like it's like, Lord, it's in you that my life is defended. It's in my relationship with you. It's running to him as the defense of your life, as he says. Like, just like David, God desires for you and me to learn that God alone is the true light and is found in his word, to learn that God alone is the source of salvation, deliverance, rescue, and to learn that to him is where we run to. It's here, him that we, where we live in. It's him that we live with in relationship with him as a refuge, a place for protection. That's what David is saying. Now you can see why it dispels fear, can't you? Because this is who God is to him. This is his relationship with God. This is who he knows to be God, to be true. For he is our God, and in our trust or confidence in him, our heart will not fear, because he is these things. But we struggle in our life for him to be these things. We have adversaries to what is true light in the world. Amen? We have adversaries to what we think is going to rescue and deliver and guide us and bring us out of the things. We have adversaries that think, oh, I'll be the defense of your life. I will be the protector of your life. Do this. It might be financial security. It might be, you know, there's nothing wrong with working hard and having things. It might be health. Some of us are pretty health conscious and say, I'm going to guard my life. I'm going to do everything perfectly. Nothing wrong with that, but don't have your object of trust in that. It has to be in God. And that's what David is expressing. It's so powerful to think about this and come on our lives. So David's confidence is in the Lord is affirmed. And then he moves to two prayers, and we're going to do this quickly. But he moves to these two prayers. The first prayer is a prayer for security in God. And I want you to see that. Look at verse 4-6 with me. He says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies and around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. What David is talking about here, the one thing he prays for and that he seeks is God's presence in David's worship of him. That's what he's talking about. To always be in God's dwelling place, where that's where security is. Now, we know in the Old Testament, the dwelling place of God, right, was the temple or the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. That's where they had the presence of God. They'd meet him in the tabernacle. They'd meet him in the tent of meeting. Moses did. They'd go to the temple and they'd go in the holy. That's where God's presence. That's where they went to worship. Now, where does God's presence dwell now? It's in us, right? We come to church, right, to come together to worship God and to praise him and encourage each other and to listen to God's word and to grow and all that. But God's presence is in us. And David is saying that. That's what I seek. I just want God's presence in my life everywhere I'm at, so I can worship him everywhere I'm at. And God will hide me. God will seal me, you know, all the things that he said. Psalm 26:8 says this. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I want you to think about that. The habitation of God and where his glory is in you through the Holy Spirit. Do you love that God is there with you? Do you love that God is here and you can have him be your light and your salvation and your defender of your soul each and every day? Is that what you desire? Do you pray for the security of that relationship with God? Psalm 57:1 says it this way. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I mean, think about the communion and relationship that psalmist had when he's writing that. Think about ours. Lord, I want to dwell in your habitation. And how does it say in 57? I like that. What? The shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. Now, we know God's not a bird, but the illustration or what it's meaning is that God is right here. And are you going to take refuge? Is that where you're going to be in? David's prayer is that all the days of his life, he would seek a constant relationship with God, a communion with God. He says in Psalm 27, he says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, back in January, on January 12th, we were getting into knowing God, and I had some things. Do we know God this way, that way? And I said, do we know God to be beautiful? I taught on that. And David wanted to behold the beauty of God. And I want to get to this important thing. When he says that in verse 4, to behold the beauty of God, that word behold is not only see with his eyes. That word conveys from the eyes of my heart, from my soul, from my understanding. I want to perceive the beauty of God from my inward depth of who I am. Not just the mountains or just the wonderful things that we can see, that kind of thing, that we can see the character of the beauty of God. He said, but I want to see with the understanding of my heart and mind to what is the character of God. I want to behold that. Beauty of the Lord means the glory, the majesty, the splendor, the honor, the excellence of the Lord in his character. And see, you really see that from the inside. That's why he wanted to be in the presence of God. That's why he wanted to be in worship of God. That's why he wanted, and he prayed for that security that my life is just indwelt in you, God, and that I'm desiring to be with you everywhere I go. And what I want to see is in this life, through all the things I have and all the things that go on, an understanding and perceiving of who God is and his glory and majesty and splendor and honor and excellence, and even in the midst of whatever's going on in David's life. David asked God, said he would seek to always be in God's presence in relation with God so he could behold in his soul all the days of his life the beautiful character of God. Lord, get me there. Lord, get me there. Get me that each day of my life, instead of being railroaded or all the things that can just take us away from what's going on with the Lord and why I'm here and what God's purpose is and all of that, and getting lost in the struggle and the difficulties, that just today, Lord, help me see in my soul your beautiful character as this day unfolds. You see the security in that? That he prayed for that? That security comes from communion with God, doesn't it? You remember what Paul said in Philippians 3:10. He said, I want to know him, Jesus Christ. I want to know his power, his communion with me in my suffering. He said, I want a fellowship, koinonia, in his suffering. He said, I want to commune with the Lord Jesus Christ in the hard things that I got going in life. Security is going to be there. I want to know him as he changes me in sanctification. Paul talked about this in Ephesians 2:18 and following. He said that through Christ, we all have full access, full communion with God the Father by the Spirit, and we belong to God's household. And as God's building, that he is at work in building our lives together into a dwelling of God. That's the idea. It's embracing that, saying that's my communion with God and what he's doing. John 14:23, Jesus said it as simply as you could. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You're going to live with him. Our response is, Lord, I ask that I can live with you and make my life that way. That's what David asked for and what he sought. Life in communion with God. In that life is security. Then in verses 7 through 13, David offers a second prayer. And it's really simple. It's for God's gracious guidance. Look at it with me. Psalm 27, look at just verse 7. He says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, be gracious to me and answer me. Lord, when I pray, be gracious and answer. Be gracious and guide me, lead me. The answer is always leading, right? It's always where to think. It's always what's going on. It's when you cry out to the Lord, when you call upon him, be gracious and answer. Be gracious, guide, and lead me. Psalm 5. It's another psalm with the same idea. I want you to listen to it. First verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Hear the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. O Lord, lead me, verse 8, in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. In David's prayer for gracious guidance, his heart was to respond to the guidance God gave. You see, because God's his refuge, because God's his light, because God's his salvation, because God's is the defender of his soul, because he wants to be in communion with God. And so when he prays, he responds to what God is showing him in guidance. His response, I want you to listen to it in 8 through 10 in Psalm 27. He says this, When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsaken me, O God of my salvation. He basically saying, crying out, I can't make it if you don't lead me. You said, seek your face, and I said, I'm going to seek it. Don't take your face from me. Don't quit guiding me. Don't quit leading me, because I got nowhere else to go. You're the God of my salvation. You're the God of my rescue. Verse 10, For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. In the better translation, it says, Even if my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Hebrew word meaning, like what Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 11, this is the meaning of take me up, care for me. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them into his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. That's what he's saying, Lord, do that for me. Even if everything abandons me, Lord, lead me like a shepherd. Tend to me like I'm your flock. Gently, even in my newness or youngness or immaturity. So David is saying, So God graciously guide me, for I will respond. And when you said, Seek my face, my heart said, Your face I will seek. For even if all abandon me, you will care for me. When I was going through this, it reminded me of Psalm 16. The Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, really capture both of these prayers that we've been talking about. David said this, verse 8, Psalm 16, I have set the Lord continually before me. That's the same thing. He's the light. He's my salvation. He's the defense of my life. I set him continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not fear. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to go under corruption. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's what David is asking for, and God's guidance comes from God's promised goodness. Look at verse 11 through 13. Why does God lead? Why does he guide? Because of his goodness and his promise to us. Look what it says in verse 11 through 13. David writes, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witness have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So much here. But let me just say one thing here. That in David's relationship with God, no matter the challenge, no matter the difficulty, no matter the adversaries, he trusted that he would see the goodness of God in his life. What's goodness mean? Is it circumstantial? Do you think it's outcomes of life? That the promise was in all of these things that you'll see the goodness of God? The goodness of God is about God's character. It's not necessarily good outcomes, all there are, and good circumstances and blessings in this life. They come. But David's confidence was in God, that he would see the goodness that God desires him to see. The goodness of God's character, God's glory. It's the same thing that Moses wanted to see in Exodus 33. Back in Exodus 33, this is what Moses, seeing all that's going on, the people having a hard time and God having to deal with them, and that they're out in the desert, and that, you know, all that he's went through. And Moses in 33:18 says this, I pray you, show me your glory. And God, show me your glory. And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I'll show compassion. Like God's beauty, Moses prayed to see God's goodness. Like David, wanting to behold the beauty of the Lord in the temple of God, in the presence of God, he wanted to see the glory of God, God's goodness. To see God's grace, God's compassion, God's salvation for us found in Jesus Christ. It's to see the character of God from your very being, to perceive and understand God's goodness from your soul. I know this to be true. I am confident this is to be true. At the end of all of this, maybe you pass away before the Lord comes. When you see all of God's goodness, you're going to say, wow, I wish I would have looked at it every day here. Because it's there, it's in God, it's in his character. We get sidetracked by goodness being good circumstances, and God is not opposed to those, but God's goodness is so much more than that, to perceive and understand his goodness of his soul. So whatever it might be, whatever difficulty that you wrote down, whatever thing, challenge that you wrote, whatever thing that you put down, that you wrote down, that you're going through that or went through that, God uses it for you to know him and know his character. So you trust in him because your confidence is in him and not the outcome of your circumstance. And in the midst of whatever we go on, God wants to be our God. He wants to be our light, our song, our salvation, the defender of our soul. He wants to be who he is to us and a revealer of who he is. So David concludes by encouraging us to have confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 14. Look what he says in the final verse. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Do you think David knew what he was talking about? That word wait can be hope. The Hebrew word can go either way. Wait for, hope in, hope for the Lord. Because we're waiting because the hope of God that we have in God, Christ. We're waiting on the Lord because our hope's in him. It's not in something else. And so it's that idea. We wait through the hard things in life because we hope in the Lord, right? For he is our light, he is our salvation and our refuge. He is defender of our lives. And like David, we want a desire to dwell in his presence, to commune with God in relationship with him, to see his beauty from the eyes of our heart, to ask for guidance, for by grace he leads, and by grace we can follow, for he will never abandon us. So our confidence is in him, and that's what dispels the fear in our life. That's what David's communicating to us. This goes on each and every day of our lives, not in the midst of sometimes very hard or tragic or like the things that I said here earlier as examples. This is God's journey in our life each and every day. For us to come and for God to us to learn how God is our light, how God is our salvation, how God is the defender of our lives. That he is graciously guiding us and leading us because his promised goodness to us of who he is to be shown to our lives. And when he said, seek his face, we said with my heart, Lord, we shall seek your face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the psalm, and for David's heart, and just for the encouragements that it is. And Lord, let our lives be that encouragement to others. It's like David, when he said, be strong and let your heart take courage. You know, some of the hard things we got going on, we're just trusting and hoping in the Lord for what he is doing, knowing with assurance that we will see his goodness in this life all the way through eternity. Lord, be with each one and through the challenges that they face with us not being able to get together and all the other difficult things, maybe jobs related, all that kind of stuff. Pray for the children, Lord, for the young people, the junior high and high schoolers. And like Pastor Craig brought up, this is going to be a memory in their life. When we had this go on, and what did we focus on, and what did we learn about, and how did we trust in the Lord? We just thank you and praise you for today's opportunity to worship you, to hear your word, and to thank you for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.